Title: Percussive Slices from FX Tales, in Ableton Live 12 Intermediate. Alright, let's get into one of the most underrated drum and bass tricks, turning FX Tales into percussion, because in D&B, especially around 170 to 176 BPM, the main kick and snare do the obvious work, but the feeling of movement, glue, and that futuristic alive groove, that's usually tiny details, reverb swells, delay repeats, little noisy ticks, they're almost subconscious. Today we're going to manufacture those details on purpose, using only Ableton Live 12 stock devices. By the end, you'll have a drum rack with about 8 to 16 slices, all cut out of a reverb or delay tail. You'll shake them into tight one-shots and ghost hits, and then sequence them in a way that supports your drums instead of cluttering them. Let's start by creating an FX tail that's actually worth slicing. Create an audio track and name it Source. Drop in a short sound with character. A snare is perfect, a clap can work, a rim, a Foley hit, even a short vocal stab. The key is, you want harmonics and bite because that gives the tail interesting texture later. Now build an FX chain on that Source track. First, add hybrid reverb, go for convolution plus algorithm, blended somewhere around 30 to 60%. Set the decay long enough to give you material, like 2.5 to 6 seconds. Add pre-delay, around 15 to 35 milliseconds, so your original transient stays clean. Then do some cleanup inside the reverb, high cut around 6 to 10k, low cut around 200 to 500 HE. And set dry slash wet somewhere like 35 to 70%. You want to hear the tail, but don't worry if it feels too wet right now. We're going to chop it into moments. Next, an echo. Set the time to 1/8 or 1/16. If you want that jungle bounce, try dotted eighth. Feedback around 25 to 45%. Filter it so it's not muddy or fizzy. High pass around 300 HC. Low pass around 7 to 10K. Add just a touch of modulation, maybe 2 to 6%, so it moves. Then add saturator. Give it 2 to 6 dB of drive and turn on soft clip. This is where a lot of small sounds become audible in a mix. Optional. If you want extra grit, add redux and downsample subtly, like 2 to 4. Keep it tasteful. We want texture, not total destruction. Now, quick coach note before we resample. You want a tail that has punctuation. If your tail is too smooth, slicing won't grab much. So if it feels like a flat wash, try adding something that creates little peaks. One easy trick. Put a tiny auto pan before the reverb. Rate around 6 to 12 Hz, amount low. That slight amplitude movement can create sliceable moments in the tail. Another trick, in echo, add a little noise and a touch of modulation. Or in hybrid reverb, bring up early reflections slightly, because those create little ticks in the space. Cool, now let's print it. Make a new audio track called Resample. Set its audio from to the source track, and choose post effects so we capture everything. Arm resample, hit record, and record one hit plus the full tail. Grab a few seconds, like 2 to 8 seconds depending on how long your decay is. When you're done, consolidate that recording with Control or CMDJ so it's one clean clip. Alternative method, if you prefer super clean printing, freeze and flatten the source track, but resampling works great for fast iteration. Now we hunt for percussive moments inside the tail. Open the resampled clip. Turn warp on if it isn't already. For warp mode, choose beats most of the time, because we're aiming for percussive slicing. If your tail is very tonal and you plan to stretch it a lot, Complex or Complex Pro can be smoother, but typically beats is the move here. Now scrub through the tail and listen like you're auditioning a drum kit hidden inside ambience. You're listening for tiny spikes, noisy bursts, metallic resonances, reverse-like swells, and delay repeats that sound like mini-hits. You want about 8 to 16 usable micro-hits. You can place warp markers manually if you want to control slices precisely, but here's the core technique. Slice it straight to drum rack. Right-click the resampled clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. In the dialog, set Slice by to Transient. That's usually best. If it generates way too many tiny slices, you can switch to warp marker and place your own markers. For slicing preset, choose the built-in drum rack preset, or choose none if you want it raw and totally unprocessed. Hit OK. Ableton builds a new MIDI track with a drum rack, and each slice is mapped across pads starting around C1. Now do a quick hit list pass before you obsess over details. Solo the drum rack and tap pads. Don't edit everything yet. Just identify the winners. And this is a big workflow upgrade. Rename a few pads so your brain stops thinking in random samples and starts thinking in drum rolls. Name them things like tick, puff, metal, reverse, ghost, fill, If you like to stay organized, color code your main slices versus fill-only slices. If there are pads that are completely useless, you can delete those chains, but it's also fine to leave some weird ones as happy accidents for later. Now we shape each slice into real percussion. Click a pad. You'll see Simpler holding that slice. For each good pad, do this fast percussive setup. Set Simpler to one-shot mode. Turn on snap so your start point doesn't land on awkward zero crossings. Then adjust start so the hit speaks immediately, and adjust end to cut away dead air. Next, tighten it with fades. Use fade out somewhere like 10 to 80 milliseconds depending on how snappy you want it. If you get clicks, add a tiny fade in, like 1 to 5 milliseconds. And if you want those reverse-ish inhaling puffs without doing any audio editing, try a longer fade in, like 30 to 120 milliseconds, and then a short fade out. That creates a tempo-friendly reverse feel you can place right before snares. Now filtering. Enable the filter in Simpler. For ghost percussion, high pass is your best friend. Try high pass around 200 to 600 HC so you're not fighting the kick, sub, or even the body of the snare. If you want ticky layers, use band pass somewhere around 1 to 6k and sweep until it sits. Pitch is next. Pitch down a few semitones for darker chunks, like minus 3 to minus 12. Pitch up a bit for sparkly tops, plus 3 to plus 12. If a slice has a resonant note, you can even tune it to your track key. In DNB, that little bit of tuning can make the whole kit feel intentional. And don't forget velocity. In Simpler, set velocity to volume so the pad actually performs dynamically. Another coach trick. Once you get one pad feeling perfect, copy its Simpler settings to other pads as a starting point. That makes the rack feel like one instrument, not a pile of unrelated scraps. If your slices feel too soft, don't just boost highs. Inject transient. On that pad chain inside drum rack, add drum boss and bring transients up a bit. Or add saturator with soft clip and a modest drive. This makes tiny clicks speak in a busy mix without becoming harsh. If you have a bland noise burst and you want it to sound like design tech metal percussion, try Corpus on a pad. Choose to war beam, tune it musically, and keep dry slash wet low to moderate. It turns nothing into plink. It's a secret weapon for rollers and tech step. Now let's make the whole rack mix friendly with a processing chain on the drum rack track itself. Add EQ 8 first. High pass around 150 to 300 HC depending on your mix. Then listen for harshness. Often it's around 3 to 6K. If it's spitty, dip a couple dB. Add drum bus next. Drive around 5 to 15%. Crunch low, boom usually off unless you specifically want low thump. If the rack feels too polite, add a little transient emphasis here too. Then add glue compressor, ratio 2 to 1. Attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release on auto or around 100 milliseconds. You're not trying to smash it. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peak so it feels like a cohesive kit. Optional but very useful. Auto filter on the rack, with a cutoff map to a macro, so you can automate energy over sections. And for an advanced move that sounds super produced, use drum rack return chains. Add a short, dark hybrid reverb on return A for cohesion, and a tight echo on return B, like 1/16, for rhythmic chatter. Then only send a few slices to those returns. That's the key. If everything is swimming, nothing feels special. Now sequencing. This is where you make a DNB instead of random texture. Set tempo to 172 BPM. Start with a simple 1 or 2 bar loop of your main drums, kick and snare, whatever pattern you're building around. Now add a MIDI clip on the slice rack. Place slices like ghost percussion around the main hits. A really classic approach is low velocity slices on the 16th note in betweens, especially between kick and snare. Add a tiny hit just before the snare sometimes to create tension. Then add a brighter slice right after the snare as a response, like a little answer in the groove. Think like a drummer, not like a randomizer. One conversation per bar is usually enough. Pick one slice that answers the snare, and let the other ghost hits be supportive texture. If your hats already carry momentum, your tail perk should not become another full hat line. It's the seasoning. Now add velocity variation. This is non-negotiable. Make most hits soft. Add a couple medium hits to guide the ear. And save loud hits for deliberate moments, like a turnaround into bar 2. If you want swing, go to the groove pool. Try MPC 16 swing around 55 to 58. Then apply it lightly, like 10 to 25%. You want a subtle lean, not a hip-hop shuffle. If your slices feel late, that's common, because tails sometimes ramp up. Two fixes. First, use track delay on the slice rack. Try negative 5 to negative 15 milliseconds. That micro nudge can instantly lock it to the drums. Second, For individual pads, tighten the start point and fades, so the perceived attack happens earlier. Here are a few advanced variations you can use to make this sound expensive. Manual round robin. Duplicate your best ghost slice across 3 or 4 pads. On each, adjust start by a few samples, pitch by a few cents, and maybe slightly change the filter. Then alternate those pads in your MIDI. It stays consistent but avoids the machine gun effect. Velocity to brightness. In simpler, map velocity to filter frequency, so low velocities are darker taps and higher velocities open up. Suddenly one pad can perform like a whole range of articulation. Polyrhythm layer that still locks. Keep your main ghost pattern in 16 THS, and add a second slice that hits every 6 16 THS, giving a subtle 3 over 4 motion. Keep it quiet and filtered. It reads as motion, not a competing groove. Tail flam. Place 2 slices 10 to 30 milliseconds apart. Make the first one darker and quieter, the second brighter and louder. Great for pre-snare tension without sounding like you added another obvious drum. And arrangement-wise, don't just automate filters. Automate density. 8 bars out. Use 1 or 2 ghost hits per bar. 4 bars out. Add a response slice after the snare. Last 2 bars, do a very quiet 1/32 stutter fill only on the final beat, then hard cut. That kind of controlled escalation feels like a build without relying on risers. You can also do a /B-kit switching without new samples. Duplicate the rack track for a B section. Pitch the whole rack down 2 to 5 semitones. Close filters slightly, reduce width, maybe reduce reverb sends. Now you've got a darker verse kit and a brighter drop kit, but it's still the same sonic world. Quick common mistakes to avoid before we wrap. Don't keep low end in these slices. If they have too much body, they'll fight the kick, sub, and snare weight, and your mix will cloud instantly. Don't overwhet and then forget to trim. You want moments, not endless wash. Don't run too many slices at once. Deadened beat is already dense. Your micro perk should be surgical. Don't ignore velocity. Without it, it's just random ticks. And don't ignore attack timing. If it feels late, it is late. This audio version is shortened for playback.